The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Jackson Dell Community Schools. Thank you for listening in today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today my guests are two elementary teachers, Megan Wessel and Lisa Horn. This podcast is sponsored exclusively by Civista Bank, with Ripley County offices in Milan, Versailles, and Osgood. From personal to business banking, Civista has been helping generations of families and businesses achieve their financial goals for 138 years. Whether you choose to visit one of their nearby offices or bank on the go with the Civista mobile app, you can be confident they are looking out for you. Follow them on Facebook, and to learn even more, visit their website, civista.bank. Member FDIC, that's Civista Bank, focused on you. Our nationwide media network operates with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand programming for over 3,300 communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for schools around the country. However, this edition of Super Chat is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Jackson Dell Schools. Well, Megan, Lisa, I welcome you both to Super Chat. Megan, let me ask you, Jackson Dell celebrated STEM Day. Would you describe what took place in connection with this notable day of STEM recognition? I mean, describe it for our listeners.
STEM Day is celebrated on November 8th every year. And for the past 2 years, we have had a school-wide celebration of this day. During this day, the kids have participated in several different stations throughout the day. One of the stations we've done for the past 2 years was we collaborated with the Kids Discovery Factory in Batesville. And they come and they set up in our gym and the kids get to take part in several of their stations, like the Imagination Playground, the Connects Building Station, that they have race ramps, some magic magnets, the wind and air energy station, giant geoboards, and the kaleidoscope. They also do some programming with Cubelets. So those are just some of the stations they get to take part in at that station. We've also had some guest speakers come in. This year we had Mr. Derek Patrick, who is a software engineer, and he talked with our students about some of the programming that we do in our STEM class and how those are the very basics of his job and what he does as a software engineer. We had Dr. Valerie Parker, who is a family doctor serving our patients here in Osgood, and she talked about how the four STEM principles of science, technology, engineering, and math go into her job as being a doctor. We had Earl Wilhelm, who is in the band Lacey Lane, and he talked with students about all of the science and technology that goes into electric guitars. That one was probably the most interesting one because I don't think necessarily science and technology are the first things you think of when you hear the word musician. So that was kind of a cool experience for our kids. Another station they went to was with myself as the STEM teacher. My K-2 students did three stations with me. They programmed Colby the Mouse to go through the maze to get to the cheese. They also listened to two different stories about coding, and they did a hopscotch maze, and they built their own imaginative houses after listening to the story How to Build a House by Chris Van Dusken. My third to sixth grade students, they did paired or group coding with our Dash robots. We've had these Dash robots for about the past 3 years, so students are starting to get more familiar with a lot of his programming capabilities, but they had to solve these puzzle mazes in which they had to set up Dash to solve different tasks. Some of the more fun ones was Dash had to, quote, arrest a bad guy and run away from an alien encounter. So that was kind of fun. Dash made some like crazy noises and the kids thought it was funny. In the classroom, students got to do their own STEM challenges that were planned by our school's Project Lead the Way teacher in each grade level. And some of the students took advantage of virtual field trips that I had planned that were optional. So, like, for example, I know first grade took a virtual field trip to our solar system using a National Geographic channel. So that was pretty cool as well.
Well, for the students, you know, you've covered a lot of ground there. I mean, it was just like jam-packed with experiences and exposure to things that they wouldn't ordinarily see on a week-to-week basis. But what would you say for the students was the likely biggest takeaway from that day of STEM recognition?
I think the biggest thing is just exposing them to the opportunities that they have in the STEM world. Kind of going back to the musician specifically, like a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think of that being a STEM career, but there are STEM principles in that career, and in most careers that you can find have some sort of STEM principle in them. Also, all of these people had connections to our school. Like Earl Wilhelm is a son of one of our teachers here. Dr. Valerie Parker is a parent of a couple of our students here, and so is Mr. Patrick. So not only are these people, you know, just random outsiders, they're people who are connected to our school. So kind of showing our students that possibilities really are infinite.
You know, you mentioned Mr. Wilhelm, and I do believe you said he was a member of a musical group. I one time did a show with a performer. It was not a school show, okay, but I asked this person, who also, as a side note, happened to be a Mensa member, which means this fellow was, okay, very smart. And I asked him, I said, to you, as you compose and you play music, what is it to you that you draw from this? He said, well, music is nothing more than mathematics.
In a lot of ways, I could see that. Definitely like the counting principles and the values of the notes and everything else. I definitely believe that there could be some mathematics in there.
Sure. And everything has to go just together perfectly. I mean, so I walked away from that conversation, I recall, and I've never forgotten his comment. And when you said that, I thought, yeah, there's something in there for students. And it's mathematics if you really dig deep. So very cool. Well, the school district recently procured two 3D printers. Can you explain how you plan to have students engage or utilize these special devices?
Yeah, so 3D printing, I'll be honest with you, I have definitely learned trial by error myself. When I took this position, I knew nothing about 3D printing. So over the last 2 years, I've done a lot of self-exploration myself, and we have started using a program called Tinkercad. And Tinkercad allows the students to create their own 3D designs. The first way that I teach this, Tinkercad provides tutorials for the students. So we spend several weeks, usually around a month's time frame, doing the tutorials. So during those times, they learn how to drag and drop shapes into the work plane, resize the shapes, rotate them, duplicate them, create holes, and align them with other shapes and parts. So through these tutorials, they learn how to kind of manipulate the software. And then after we do about a month of tutorials, then we do another additional 2 to 3 week span where I'm going to allow students to create their own designs. After fifth and sixth grade students do that, my plan is to have sixth grade students actually print their designs. The major problem with that is, oh, we have two printers, which is amazing because last year we had zero. So the fact that we have two is awesome. But printing a design, even a small one, can take up to 2 hours. So just printing sixth grade projects will take me, you know, almost roughly 90 hours of printing time. So that's my ultimate goal. So by the time students leave in sixth grade, they will have their own design printed. But fifth graders are going to start learning how to design their own, if that makes sense. So they'll carry that information in with them next year when we pick up 3D printing with them again, sixth graders.
Sure, the fundamentals. But let me ask you, once they get their teeth into this, does it foster creativity on their part?
Extremely. The shapes that they have in Tinkercad are really basic shapes that you can kind of turn into whatever you want. You know, they have basic shape as a sphere, and then they have like a pyramid or a cone. And I have seen people like make dinosaurs out of these shapes. So they can combine these shapes, align them, and resize them to create things such as dinosaurs or keychains, or I've seen cows, different things like that. Now, those do take a lot of skill and a lot of patience and a lot of practice. And some of our students may not be quite ready to make such complex shapes and figures, but that is the potential that it has.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been intrigued or curious about what is it in 3D printing that determines how durable the finished item is? Because I know there are different materials that you can load into these printers. Is that the determining factor?
That's a part of it. The biggest thing is using the right kind of filament. So we use a filament called a PLA filament. I don't remember the size right off the top of my head, but PLA filament is what I have been advised to use. And so far it's been pretty durable. To practice myself, I've made several different prints. My son is obsessed with Mario, so I made a Bowser print and he plays with it all the time and he has not broken it yet. So I do think that filament is pretty durable. The second part of making sure that a print is very sturdy is having supports built into the print. So like, for example, when I was learning this, I printed a cow and the tail frayed. And I had to figure out why that happened. And I went back and kind of looked at it again. And I did not have the correct support for the tail to not fray when it was printing. So the melt would essentially melt apart before it had a chance to harden. So it's definitely been trial and error on my part. But these are things that the students are going to learn as they go as well.
Well, this is all quite interesting, and it feeds beautifully into the whole STEM initiative that's going on within your schools. Yeah, great report. Wonderful information.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Lisa, let me turn to you. Your sixth grade students have an upcoming Christmas Around the World project. For the benefit of our listeners, what is this all about?
So Christmas Around the World is an opportunity for the kids to travel, in essence, to different parts. We're going to be going to Europe, South America, and Central America, looking at how they celebrate during Christmas time and during the holidays. In that, they're also going to get to learn traditions and customs that they do in their areas. What I do every morning with mine, yesterday we traveled to England and we learned about how they decorated their Christmas trees, and the kids had the opportunity to decorate their own trees. Today we went to Holland and we learned that they do something called a banket letter, which is a cake that is built in the last initial of the kid's last name, and then they decorate those cakes with things that are important to their families. So they were able to do that today. We will travel to somewhere every day, and they'll learn a little snippet of what they did, and they'll be able to do a little project with that. This morning, my kids got their seven countries that they're going to be going to: Venezuela, Cuba, Chile, the Bahamas. And later today, they're going to look at how they celebrate during this time. To put this all together, on December the 20th, the kids are all going to go down to the gymnasium and invite the whole school to come down and, in a way, get their passports and travel to the different countries. Our kids will then present to the others how they celebrate. They'll teach them a song. They'll teach them a craft. And if they would like to, they can also bring a sample of food that may be something that they do in that country.
Yeah. Is this the first year that you've done this project, or has this been going on for some time?
It's been going on for some time. This is my seventh year back here, and I think that this will be the fifth year that we've been able to do it. COVID put us on hold a little bit. So what we did was we just went into classrooms. We still presented. It was just in a different way. It gets the kids out in front of others because they have to work on a presentation. So it's, how do I present this to others? Looking at the different font colors and font sizes, it really brings in some of that STEM stuff that they've been learning to be able to put that into the presentations that they will be presenting.
Sure, sure. Would you say that this whole project excites the kids or gets them kind of thrilled and kind of high and engaged about the Christmas season in itself?
Just the whole season of getting in, just to be able to make something that's their own and present to others, to learn about somebody else's customs and traditions and how they do things. It also then excites them to, maybe it's something that they could try at their house or something that they could try with their family, to be able to see how somebody else in another country celebrates. So they were very excited this morning when they got the country they were going to be traveling to.
Yeah. Well, you know, you explore things and you learn. I just, as a sidebar, I recently, coming out of the Thanksgiving season, I recently learned, and you would think I would know this by now, but that Thanksgiving is celebrated only in the United States and Canada does it in October. So the United States is a standalone Thanksgiving celebration in November. I did not know that until recently.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other countries that do it, but in theirs are in different ways that they are able to celebrate. And we'll learn that there are some that don't celebrate as we do. They do it in a different way or just different things that are brought into the whole Christmas holiday.
Yeah, celebrations and traditions and customs, it all enters into it. Well, there are certainly some fun things going on and being taught in unique ways at Jacksonville. This has been a good conversation and fun indeed. Megan, Lisa, I want to thank you both for joining me today here on Super Chat.
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate it.
Listeners, this program is a good one to share with your school-connected friends. We thank our sponsor, Civista Bank, for supporting this monthly program. You can follow Civista on social media, and I suggest that you check out their mobile banking app. And to learn even more, visit their website, civista.bank. And the very next time you are in your local Civista branch location, let them know just how much you appreciate their support of Super Chat for Jacksonville Schools. If you come up with a comment or a specific question for us right here in Studio Number 7, share it with us. Email us. shout@theflypod.com. So for Jacksonville Community Schools and the Flypod Media Network, I have been your host, Gary Puckett. And our monthly program comes to you year-round on your portable media device or computer. Thank you for joining us today here on Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Jacksonville Community Schools.